Welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Lonely TARDIS, your one and only Doctor Who-themed podcast for the Doctor Who fan out there. I am Dally Domofsky. Joining me, as usual, is one Sean Norton.
Greetings.
And Steven Salarian Strum.
I can neither confirm nor deny that we are the only Doctor Who podcast on the internet.
Actually, wait, Steven gets a Doctor Who themed nickname? What's that all about?
Oh, okay. Let's go with I'm Dalek Bohr.
Dalek Bohr.
No,
Dalek
you know what? This is already a mistake. Let's all just right. Move on.
No, Dalek Bohr is from the olden days.
That's right. That, yeah.
That's a running gag.
That is a running gag. We'll have to make a
I think it ran out of energy to run. Yeah.
So I think I already had a nickname, didn't I? I was like Steven the Oncoming Storm Strum or Steven Stormageddon Strum or something like that.
How do you get the best ones? That's not fair.
Because my name is Storm with one letter moved around.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm Sean Norton Antivirus.
And I'm out. See ya.
Peace, bitches.
I have
Mentech Sean.
There's nowhere else to go. There's no further pit to fall down.
Oh, there's always room to go down.
Yeah,
Sean.
Just listen to this show this next half hour, and we'll go down. We'll go down a pretty deep rabbit hole.
And then we'll keep going another half an hour to go down even further.
As per usual. Well, guys, thank you for joining me. We are back. We're going to try to do these more regularly, but we will neither confirm or deny an actual.
What did I just talk to you about before we went on the air? Before we started recording, because we're not on the air.
We are back weekly, guys. We are back weekly.
Stop promising that.
Point of fact, every 24 hours, new podcast, 3 hours long. Every single episode will feature new juicy Doctor Who news.
I'm pretty sure the last time we told them that was like December 15th or something. And then we vanished till Valentine's Day.
The best part is that not only that, but we actually had a post up on the website saying, like, we're back, everybody! Like, it wasn't just for the people who listened to the podcast. It was like, everyone, it's out there for everyone to see. We can't hide it.
I guess we just kind of can say, like, hey, you know what, never mind. I was going to make a bad joke about the TARDIS landing and, like, a wrong, like, we thought it was 2 days later, and it turns out it's 2 months later, but, you know.
No, that's perfect, like...
I know, but I screwed it up, so we'll use it next time.
Yeah, we'll use it next time.
I'll let Steven deliver it, because that's how I know I'm having an off Sunday, is when Steven Strom is delivering my jokes better than me.
That's Stormageddon to you.
Oh, God.
You're right.
Master, what is it? Go ahead, Stormageddon.
Finish it. I can't remember.
Oh, see? You don't deserve to be Dark Lord of All, do you? Yeah, no.
All right, I'm sorry that I couldn't remember the one goddamn episode from the one goddamn season.
It's like, your name.
But it's not. It's one letter off. One letter is huge. You like how, like, a minute ago, one letter was like a tiny thing, and that was what was made it so important, and now I can use it against you. That's what makes me so marketable.
So, Dolly, what are we talking about today?
Well, Sean Nestine Norton, we are going to be talking about...
No!
Sean the big giant blubbly blob.
That makes me like a... No! The Nestine consciousness? Really? No, we could do better. I will wiki other end-named villains. No.
What's
you keep talking.
Worse?
I'm going to
There
gonna
really
look
aren't
up.
That many. I have the Wikipedia page up, and there's here's a good one. Sex gas. An unnamed gaseous alien parasite that comes to Earth. To feed on orgasmic energy in day one, which is an episode.
Sex gas, Norton.
That was a Torchwood episode. So sex gas.
That was like that was.
Oh, no wonder.
That was the second episode of Torchwood, titled episode day one.
Yeah.
I think it crashes in a meteorite and comes out and fucks people until they turn to dust.
Literally.
Sean sex gas Norton, ladies.
Oh, you know what's even worse about the Nestine thing though, is in the third Doctor serial when the Nestine first shows up. It looks like a giant vagina trapped behind cellophane tape.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. There you go, Sean. That's what you get.
What was that? The Nestine? We're still talking about the Nestine?
Yeah, the Nestine looked like a giant vagina caught behind, cellophane tape when it first shows up in the original series. It's awesome.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We have other names.
No, Sean. Dally gave you that name. I didn't give it to you.
The Nestine Norton consciousness. Oh, God almighty.
We're going to be talking about stuff, right?
Yeah, we are.
We are talking about stuff. It's just nothing good.
Nothing good because nothing's happened. No. We are going to get into the Christmas episode from a couple months ago.
I think people know when Christmas was, Dally.
Yeah, but they thought we were probably talking about next Christmas because it's right around the midway point between when the Christmas episodes are usually announced.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Anyway, so we'll talk a little bit about the Christmas episode. We got some news to throw down there, and we got a contest. And this time we're actually going to freaking hopefully get a winner.
I thought we didn't have a contest because don't we need...
No,
it's
not
comment?
Trivia. It's not trivia.
This is
something different. This is something for the fans out there. But let's get into some news. There actually has been quite a few Doctor Who news tidbits that have been popping up here and there. The games, of course, are coming along quite nicely. Doctor Who...
Define nicely.
Yeah, define nicely. Well, they're coming along quite. Doctor Who, The Eternity Clock, is due in March. And we know next to nothing about this downloadable game, which is coming to PS... I think it's PS3 and Vita, and then later on in PC.
And PC. I don't know. I don't think it's on 360 at all, as far as we know, right?
No, yeah.
Correct.
Just PS3, Vita, yeah. Hmm. We know more now than we did, though. I mean, that trailer...
Yeah,
it definitely showed us what it is.
Yeah, so they released the first gameplay trailer, which is making the rounds. I mean, what did you guys think? To me, it essentially looks like a side-scrolling slash somewhat, you know, isometric three-quarter view puzzler action game.
It looks like another world slash out of this world, depending on, you know, what country you live.
No, see, if it was... another world or out of this world, that would be pretty badass as a Doctor Who game. But to me, it almost looked like Prince of Persia with a Doctor Who skin on it.
Well, those both kind of play a little bit like each other. I'm talking like just purely out of like the fact that they both use that rotoscoping thing. You know, like it kind of looks like that, where you're a dude running side to side on this big open plane. I mean, for a more modern context, it kind of looks like that War of the Worlds downloadable game that just got released recently.
Oh, that's right.
It looks a hell of a lot like that now that I think about it.
And it stars River Song as the main kind of companion. And you can take control of River Song for the shooting portions, I guess, of the game, and then Doctor Who, the Doctor, for the puzzle-solving portions.
And that part sounds interesting to me because that sounds like Trine. And it actually looks a little bit like Trine, too. But in Trine, you can switch between multiple characters with different abilities on the fly and that sort of thing. And Trine is a great game. And if it kind of captures that aspect of things, that would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like, from the trailer, it looks like you'll be able to work together, right? I mean, I'm guessing there's some co-op elements because it looks like River helps the Doctor up when he makes a jump. And she kind of catches him when he's jumping in between a ledge and stuff. And... Yeah, it's very interesting. It's not what I expected, but really, what else can you do, you know, in a Doctor Who game except kind of run away from the bad guys and figure out nonviolent ways to take them out? Well, I guess unless you're River Song, you could shoot them in the eye stalk. But
shoot him in the eye stalk?
Yeah.
Yeah, like an interesting way of getting around that. Like, you know, you have to play as the Doctor, but because it's a Doctor Who game, who wants to play as somebody else but the Doctor? But then at the same time, it's like Doctor can't really hurt anybody, but if you can just switch on the fly between somebody who can hurt somebody and somebody who can maybe solve puzzles, that'd be kind of cool.
I mean, it looks okay, you know. I like the side scroll. I like the 3D depth to it. You know, there's a scene where they're taking like an elevator down, I guess maybe in a Dalek ship or something, and there's just like dozens of Daleks in the background. Did you guys mention Shadow Complex? It's kind of got it's got a much more simplistic kind of Shadow Complex vibe to it. A little more simplified.
This game looks like a hell of a lot of games.
And that's not necessarily a terrible thing, you know. And then in terms of, I don't know if we talked details. Then the four confirmed adversaries are the Cybermen, Silurians, Daleks, and then the Silence. Which, interestingly enough, apparently the Silence were added later on, like when they were first drafting out this game. Huh. The Silence replaced another kind of monster, and they wouldn't say which one. They just said that it would come in later. They said they'll definitely make an appearance in a future game. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I guess
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the race that they probably
bounced
was the Sontarans. That's total speculation, but it's kind of they kind of fit, right?
Like a
ton of enemies that all look exactly the same that can shoot at you and fight you like from projectiles and shit. That sounds like Sontarans to me.
That's true. Right? I mean, my other thought was maybe the Weeping Angels.
That would have been great.
Oh, and they like act like the boos from Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That would actually would be kind of cool. But yeah.
So confirmed, the Weeping Angels are actually offshoots. They're hyper evolved versions of the Mario boos.
Right, because you see, Doctor Who takes place in continuity B, whereas Mario takes place in continuity A.
Correct.
When Mario defeats Bowser, he opens up a time rift. And I'm not going to do this.
You're not going to do this. No.
Really? We'll I thought you were pretty committed to that. I was going to be impressed if you followed that through.
Oh, if I tied it all together at the end, like, yeah, I don't know. At the end of the episode, I'll release the notes on continuity C, and then it'll make that entire joke make sense.
It should be interesting. And I also thought I caught a little bit of dialogue where River was saying when she was in. So it looks like there's some pretty iconic locations in Storm Cell or Storm Cage or whatever it's called. And some other planets and stuff looks pretty cool. But I thought I caught a little bit of dialogue where she said the Master was trying to do something with the universe or something. I could be wrong, but I thought I heard that in there. I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah, she might have been talking about Master with like a lowercase m too, I guess. I mean, and there was another Master.
No, I think every time you mentioned the Master in the.
Well, the Mind Robber, they call the dude the Master. Like, he is, up until a point, he is exclusively known as the Master. That was before the Master, like, John Sims the Master kind of thing existed. But, I'm just saying.
True.
I think it's a red herring. I don't think the Master's going to show up.
If you watch that trailer and go to, like, 12 seconds in or whatever, it switches to her, and I'm pretty sure she says the Master was trying to rip the universe to shreds.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I would like to see the Master come back into the fold of Doctor Who continuity in some form, but I also feel that they kind of closed him out pretty definitively with The End of Time. And if they did bring him back, I don't think he would come back. His first appearance being in the video game, I think they would bring him back into the show first off.
Well, upon rewatching this trailer just now while you gents were talking, she does say the Master.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
two against one, dude.
I'm just saying that it could be different Master.
Well, no, there's no chance of that. But it could definitely just be somebody in the shadows. Like, they just reference him the whole game and he never shows up.
She might be saying the Hamster.
Mm. Ooh, confirmed for season 7.
Yes.
Those hamster-like enemies, yeah.
The Master gets reincarnated as a hamster.
Clearly, you guys didn't read my fanfiction on Continuity D, which brings everything around, and you find out that this was all the dream of Hamtaro. Like, all of these things were actually Hamtaro dreaming. So
Hamtaro.
I just wanted
to... Ham Olympics.
I don't know enough about actual Hamtaro. Like, you fucking called my bluff, Dally.
Oh, man.
So... while we're wrapping up on this game, I just want to throw out there a little bit of an interesting article I read about it by Susan – I always pronounce her name wrong, but Susan Arendt?
Arendt.
Yeah.
I pronounce her name wrong all the time too. So.
From The Escapist. She wrote on her blog about the game and just how she's just been watching Doctor Who since she's 10 years old and just the influence of the character and – just all of that. And it's very interesting because she basically came out and said, I'm not going to play this game because I don't want to control this kind of character that I've grown up with. You know, my role is to watch him do his thing and save the universe. And then all of a sudden I would be, you know, I would be involved in that and not, you know, I would be his puppeteer and it would just be weird. So it was like, nope, I'm not going to play it, but I hope it's really good. And I just thought that was absolutely fascinating, you know, as like this huge fan and this writer and everything just coming out and saying, this it's great, I'm glad we're getting a game, I'm not going to touch it, you know?
Conversely, we have already decided that I will be reviewing this game for SideQuesting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so now I am thinking about it, and it's like, oh, shit. Now, Susan has opened up a whole can of worms for me there.
Yeah, she raises the bar, as she often does.
She makes a great point, and I mean, I I never know what to treat a Doctor Who game, because I've played the Maze of Time, whatever that was, on iOS, and
I still can't believe you haven't played the adventure games.
No, I have. I now own them though, so I'm getting.
But in those, you don't play as the Doctor. I believe you play as Amy in both of those, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, but there's and maybe that's where a game like this needs to go. I mean, people would love to control the Doctor, but I think you're now asking the Doctor to be an action hero, which a game like this is kind of pushing. I mean, you see him doing like these leaps and jumps across platforms and stuff, and the Doctor doesn't really do that kind of stuff. He's almost like an alien Sherlock Holmes, right? He's all about kind of solving mysteries and getting out of situations in kind of novel ways and bringing down the bad guy with the least amount of physical force possible. I would have almost loved to see and I think I may have even mentioned this before, but like a Heavy Rain style Doctor Who game where it's actually there's a lot of acting involved, and you're kind of, there's already a predetermined point A and point B, but you're just trying to figure out how the Doctor gets to point B, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know if I want an action game, Doctor Who. So I'm
actually. I mean, it's funny you should say that. Like, he's not very action oriented and stuff, which is true. But it just made me think of something, which is that, like, I think the third Doctor, or maybe the second Doctor, like, knew Kung Fu or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, back in the day.
The third.
It's really weird when you think about it that over the decades, the character has gotten less and less violent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he, technically speaking, probably kills more people at this point.
Yeah.
But, like, less physically involved, whereas, you know, almost anything else back from the dead in those days, any kind of old franchise from those days, everything is, it's all about making everything grittier and edgier, and, you know, characters with sunglasses and chomping cigars and beating people up or some shit. But, like, technically speaking, he has gotten less physical over the years, and if you look at Matt Smith, he's a very slight dude. He's not really big. I just thought that was an interesting observation.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're totally right. And Susan's right, too, I think, too, with the saying that it will be weird to control the Doctor. And I'm almost, it'd be kind of great if there was like a Bioshock-esque explanation as to why you are controlling the Doctor, like to kind of tie it all up. I don't think there will be, but if that happens.
Maybe
like,
he's actually the robot clone.
The ganger?
The ganger.
Not a robot, more like a replicant.
We have officially overthought this now.
Yes. Let's move on.
That's entire podcast is about, right?
Yeah. We will definitely be playing it. I'm sure all three of us will be buying it. Yep. And then I'm assuming we'll even probably wind up playing it together if it's co-op.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm sure we'll review it on here, so we'll look forward to that in March.
Dally can play the Sonic Screwdriver. That'll be his character.
That'll be my character. I'll play the Sonic Screwdriver in the background.
He's just going
to go.
Well, let's move on to the next Doctor Who game. For those people that don't know, there actually is more than one Doctor Who game being planned. The next one is Doctor Who World in Time. I have the page up, and I should be looking at it, but it's Worlds in Time. So this is the MMO.
What a dumb name, right?
It's the online MMO game. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's a dumb name by any means, Stephen. I think you're dumb for even.
You, I mean, Sean couldn't even remember it.
Like, that's got nothing to do with the name.
I just think it's really a generic ass name that doesn't say anything about Doctor Who.
Now, a generic name is probably right. Dumb name. I don't think dumb. It's just kind of generic. Anyway, so this is the
Doctor Reckoning.
Yeah, Doctor Who, the Age of Enlightenment. No.
I mean, for an MMO, you know, a browser-based MMO, it's fine. I mean, if there's going to be all these different worlds, then that's fine. I mean, if it's a title that encapsulates the variety of what they're offering players, then maybe that's okay. I don't. That's the least of my particular criticisms about the game.
I think what this title does is encapsulate my apathy towards a browser-based Doctor Who game. My total disinterest.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like I'm in the minority there. Like, it doesn't sound like we're too excited about this game in general.
You know, I think it's probably because we know so little about it as well. And we actually, do we have a release date for this one?
First quarter.
It's still first quarter. So they're basically trying to get two Doctor Who games out, one which is more of an action game, another one which is a browser-based, which looks like it has a little bit of action in it as well. But I'm just kind of I'm more interested to see how this is received, I guess, by who this is received, because sorry, no pun intended, by who this is received. But it definitely looks like it's geared more towards the younger generation. I mean, I right? It's just the visual design, the character design. This is like the Habbo Hotel version of Doctor Who.
I don't know what that is, but yes. I agree 100%. I think it's definitely for a more young, a younger, more mainstream audience.
So, for all I know, it may end up being interesting. I think, again, we know so little about it that, it's just hard to judge it right now.
I agree.
It's hard to judge it just based on visuals.
I agree. And I know we were watching the behind the scenes, the Dev Diary. I know Three Rings is a pretty good studio, so I know that they're big Doctor Who fans. I know they're putting a lot of their, passion for the franchise into the game. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, those are the guys behind Spiral Knights, which I've heard is very good, very fun. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe it'll be good. Maybe I'm getting riled up for nothing. But if it's bad, we'll just forget about it and never talk about it again. So I guess
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it could be. It could just be good for what it is, and it just might not be remotely appealing for us, but it could still be a good Doctor Who game.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Games. There's a lot of people that weren't remotely interested in the adventure games, and I'm sure some people who really kind of like that stuff really enjoyed those. So
the adventure games had the advantage of coming out at a time when there was a sort of brief but powerful resurgence of point-and-click adventure games in the public consciousness, like with the Telltale stuff, the Tales of Monkey Island and Sam & Max and that sort of thing becoming popular sort of again. I think it was able to ride a little bit of that wave, and the fact that they were all so cheap was also another big part of it. But
maybe. I mean, I think a majority of players who have even heard of those, and remember, it was free in the UK, I believe. That game will have been played by. I mean, that could have been a lot of people's first point-and-click experience ever because of the franchise, because of the name behind it.
I'm not necessarily saying that. Yeah, I'm saying that the reason that game kind of probably got to come out and got as much attention as it did was probably because of that.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, no. I think the timing was great. Yeah, I definitely agree in terms of for sure.
Yeah. So, Dally, what's next on the dossier here?
It could be worse. We could be playing the. We could be talking about the Nintendo DS game that came out about 3 years ago.
It could be a lot worse for Doctor Who video games right now.
Yeah. Speaking of DS, I would. The Eternity Clock, how cool would that be on the 3DS, do you think?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Platformers are actually really good. I just played Sonic Generations on the Xbox 360 and then the 3DS version, and I love the visuals on the 3DS a lot more because of that kind of 3D effect. I think it would look great.
Yeah, because it's already got that weird sort of depth of field thing going for it. I think with all the jumping leaps and stuff, that'd be kind of neat.
Definitely.
It does seem like it's a little more powerful than the DS, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well...
Just throwing that out there for anybody who may not be familiar with the different hardware that gamers currently can enjoy.
And you know what? Coming out on the... Well, I suppose I could still do this with Vita, but if they don't use use some kind of variation on it's bigger on the in the inside of your pocket or something like that.
Oh, man.
Somebody at marketing failed. Sean, get on the horn with your people.
You know, the sad thing
is... Yeah, because I have hookups with the Doctor Who people. Guys.
The Vita is so huge that you won't be able to put it in your pocket. Just letting you guys know right off the bat.
Yeah, Steven.
That's probably true. Okay, I didn't think of it that way. But 3DS would work, so I'm just saying.
I'll get on the horn with Steven Moffat. We'll get this going.
Call Side Questing's lawyer.
Call Side Questing's lawyer.
Our resident lawyer, Jay Putter...
Jay Puttersonville.
Jay Puttersonville, Matt Jensen. get on him, and I'm sure he'll get back to us immediately with the rights to that slogan. We'll sell it to him like a domain name. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I'm just... I don't... I, what?
Doctor Who and Star Trek. What?
Doctor Who and thank you for that segue, Steven. Because I was just waiting for you to go ahead and go for it.
Yeah, I pointed this out to you guys the other day, though I'm sure you would have found out about it one way or the other. Doctor Who, Star Trek, officially licensed crossover. Not just fan fiction, although there has been much fan fiction revolving the Doctor and the Star Trek crew meeting up. Or maybe not necessarily the Star Trek crew, but Star Trek universe. There's like a radio drama, pretty good radio drama of Star Trek that they make where the Doctor has shown up before. I can't remember the title of it right now, but... This is official. This is a comic that they're making that is really licensed as Doctor Who / Star Trek: The Next Generation, which is pretty interesting, right?
It's so funny because Sean just in our Skype chat just posted the infamous Doctor Who Star Trek crossover wallpaper that somebody had done.
Yeah, I remember
which
that.
Is pretty badass. It has Daleks, it has Klingons and Romulans, all that fun stuff, Cybermen, but yeah, I'm. So, have any of you guys? I've mentioned this in the pre-show, but have either of you guys read any of the Doctor Who comic books or graphic novels?
No, sir.
Okay.
Educate us.
Okay, so
I do own Star Trek: The Next Generation / X-Men, the crossover novel.
Star Trek / who? X-Men.
Star Trek: The Next Generation / X-Men, and that is not a joke. That is a real thing, and I have it sitting around here in my house somewhere. I'll have to find it.
I have – okay, listen. Get this one. I have Star Trek / Transformers.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
I don't know. The added thing of Patrick Stewart playing both Jean-Luc Picard and Professor Xavier kind of maybe pushes X-Men a little over the top just a little bit. But Transformers.
Melts minds. Anyway, so graphic novels that are done in the Doctor Who universe – I'm gonna basically say it this way. Anything that was David Tennant tends to be really true to the David Tennant years TV, his program. I think at that point the writers were doing a little bit of work on both. So you'll have some of the writers that working on the TV show and helping out with the graphic novel. So there was actually a little bit of kind of purposeful design to the book. So if you read Doctor Who book back then, 3-4 years ago, I mean it was probably pretty close to the TV series. The Matt Smith era, on the other hand, the first book was Jack the Ripper.
Oh, Jack the Ripper is my favorite band from the mid 1980s.
There you go.
It's my favorite rockabilly band.
Favorite rockabilly acapella Doctor Who band. So the first one was Jack the Ripper, which wasn't very good. It starred Matt Smith, Amy and Rory, taking on Jack the Ripper, who was a reptilian alien, and it just wasn't written all that well. It wasn't engaging, I guess.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, the second one, which was When Worlds Collide, is a little bit better, and it has. Cowboys and all that kind of stuff and a bunch of other things. And the third one, which just came out recently, was it's called A Fairy Tale Life. And it essentially stars Doctor Who traveling through all these different fairy tales, kind of battling knights and dragons and so on.
Can I just say that I can't believe that they didn't already do a Doctor Who comic where Doctor Who or the Doctor gets trapped in fairy tales until just now?
Like, well,
that is one of the most overused like cliche tropes in the history of media, and I just find it entirely way too amusing that they're just pulling that out now.
I agree. Would say that it kind of sucks. and I know why they haven't until now. Because the unfortunate...
Oh, so that's
problem,
why.
Yeah. The okay. unfortunate problem with these Matt Smith books is that they're pretty horrible. And therefore, I am not expecting much at all out of this rumored Doctor Who Star Trek crossover. They have so far, these books have not been very good. They're not good reads. Which is funny. Just wait to the end of the show. You'll see why I'm actually giggling under my breath right now. We're going to be offering up a copy of a fairy tale life to a lucky winner. And I'm saying it's horrible.
Way to bury the lead there, Dally. Like you set up.
Yeah.
This whole,
wow. Really?
Like,
they're all horrible except for a fairy tale life. The art is great, ish. No.
The art to me, at least from the promo of the where the doctor's sitting. Amy and Rory are sitting on the bridge of the Enterprise. Looks a lot like that wallpaper of Doctor Who Star Trek crossover.
Yep. And like, I totally agree with you. They actually do a really good job of you know, the technique it looks like they're using is taking photographs and just kind of sketching over the photographs a little bit to get the characters' facial features and stuff to look right. But
that's. We'll talk about the fundamentals of comic book art later, Dally. That's probably not. It's probably not true, but it's also probably not as far away from the truth as you might think.
Sure. Anyway, so I don't know. I can't say I'm excited. I know I said so many boners on Twitter yesterday, but that was just me kind of being facetious.
And gross. Oh my god. Gross.
Oh, so many boners. Yeah,
why would you do that?
You know, it's okay to be cautiously, I guess not even optimistic, just cautious in general. And that's fine. If these other books have been kind of letting you down like you're saying they are. Again,
right.
I haven't read them, so I can't really say. I always did want to get into the David Tennant ones because they looked fantastic.
Yep.
But that's fine, dude. I mean, if that's how it is, then we'll wait and see. I'm encouraged because it's an officially licensed crossover, you know, so it's not going to be just Doctor Who. I mean, I assume there's talented people keeping the Star Trek comic books alive. So, we'll see. I mean, Steven, how was the X-Men Star Trek crossover? Was it any good?
Fuck no, I didn't read it. Like, it's a novel. I just own it because I love that cover of Jean-Luc Picard and Professor Xavier and a Wolverine on the front with Jonathan Frakes. It's pretty great. No,
it's a graphic novel, though, right?
No, it's a novel. Like,
oh, it's a book!
Yeah, it's like a 250-page book, yeah.
Oh, dude, send it my way. I want to read that ish.
Yeah, I will. I'll get you hooked up. But,
well, no, but you should. Okay. Well, then I retract my question because for some reason, I was under the impression it was a comic crossover and not a novel.
Why would you possibly think that the comic book series crossing over with a thing that also has a comic book series could possibly be a comic book? Why would you think that, Sean?
Because I wasn't paying attention and I'm dumb. Thanks, Steven.
No,
you always make me hate myself. You make me hate myself.
Sean, I was on your side with that one. I was making fun of the fact that it is a book.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say that, you know, again, I'm cautiously optimistic about this one, but or cautious. I don't say optimistic. I'm just cautious. There are actually some pretty good Doctor Who paperbacks, I guess, graphic novels out there. Like the Forgotten is one of the ones that was. A pretty good one. I think that one was from 2009. But one that the couple that I've actually really been interested in picking up is the Omnibus, Doctor Who Classics Omnibus. And essentially these tell the stories of the classic Doctor Who, the classic Doctors, you know, like the first through the, you know,
seventh or eighth
or whatever, in graphic novel format, which is a pretty interesting take on it. And they're done by David Gibbons, so, which is a pretty,
oh really
yeah he's the oh. He's the author, so there's, you know, there's
he's the author or is the he's the artist
he, no I'm sorry he's the he's listed as an author, he's the artist, right? David Gibbons, whatever, he's
I mean, he is the artist on, he is generally known for his art,
yeah exactly. And so
but he writes
it was pretty good. I thought that it was great to see that these characters were revisited, and for people that don't know anything about these original Doctors, it's kind of a cool thing. And there's two of them out there, so.
And it sounds like a good way of getting past the culture shock of this is maybe a cool story, but it looks like it was made in 1966 with $10 because it was made in 1966 with $10. Like,
correct.
But it's pretty easy to get over that when it's all drawn out, and you know, you essentially have an unlimited budget, mm-hmm. so anything can look as good as you can draw it. That seems like a good way of getting around that.
Again, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with this Doctor Who Star Trek crossover. I would just ask you guys this one question. If the Doctor was going to do a crossover book or episode or whatever, who would you guys have him crossover with?
Back to the Future.
You think Back to the Future?
Oh, fuck. That is a perfect fit. I wasn't going to think of that in a million years, but I wish I had.
Have you seen the Doctor Who Back to the Future crossover, the image somebody made?
I have it on a t-shirt.
Oh, that's right. You have it on a t-shirt. That's right. Yep.
I have the DeLorean crashing into the TARDIS.
Oh, right.
Steven,
right,
is the same for you?
No, I'll come up with something a little bit better than that. I would say Doctor Who.
A little bit better.
No, not a little bit better. I mean, say.
No, you're right. It only popped into my head because I own the t-shirt. But Marty
that's
McFly,
really
Doc
good.
Brown, and
that,
the Doctor would be brilliant.
Like, tonally, thematically, they both fit together really well. I like that. That's really good idea.
You guys want to know mine?
What's yours?
All right. Doctor Who, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I was going to say that. That was the next one I was going to say.
They're both in one's a TARDIS, the other one is a phone booth.
How about Doctor Who on Futurama?
Oh, that would be actually.
If you
want to
get real
scratch
technical,
everything, that would do it. That would be amazing.
If you want to get real technical, I will bet you 10-1 that like there has been like a dude in a super long scarf in the background of an episode of Futurama at some point.
No, there has. They just did something last year where there was this weird alien entity thing, and it was sucking up chips. So people thought that. Everybody had died, but they just got missing. So when they found the crew, they walked off. But then they're like, hey, all these other people were there. And all these different kind of characters walked off. And one was the Tom Baker version of the Doctor.
Complete
scarf and everything. But then other stuff happened in the episode. So he's just standing in the background the whole time, just looking around. It was fantastic. It was one of those sightings where it's just like, holy shit. It's the kind of thing you get on The Simpsons, too.
He has actually shown up in The Simpsons, before. I would say
Tom Baker, and I just sent you guys the clip from YouTube.
Man, I can't think of a good one like you guys like that involves time travel and shit because my brain just keeps without fail just keeps coming back to the one crossover that I would like to see, but would probably be terrible and there is no way that this could work at all, which is a Doctor Who Blade Runner crossover.
Oh my god. Yeah, how would that work?
That would be mind-blowing.
That's the only thing that pops into my head, but it would be awful. And I can't think of anything else with time travel.
Terminator.
Fuck you, Sean.
Doctor Who Terminator.
Terminator's a little bit grim. Not that Blade Runner,
what are you going to do with a screwdriver? It's not even a weapon.
It just goes... But bananas are good?
There's not even any screws. Come on, man. What are you doing?
What do you want me to say? Geronimo? Geronimo!
You're the doctor. No, I'm the doctor. What does it even mean? I'm the doctor. No, I'm the doctor.
Now I know why you cry.
Oh, my God.
I apologize to everybody that just listened to the last 30 seconds. Oh, my God.
That was an ultimate nerd fight.
I don't even think I knew we were fighting.
Before we get here,
were we? Was that Terminator 1, Terminator versus Terminator 2, Terminator?
All of a sudden, I tried to channel Will Sasso's, I'm your clone. No, I'm you, but you can't be you, I'm me.
A total recall Terminator crossover would be amazing.
Take my TARDIS.
Oh, no.
No, you mean Doctor Who Terminator.
Get to the... No, I want a Terminator.
Get to the TARDIS, now!
Get to the TARDIS!
God, get to the TARDIS. Oh.
It's big on the inside!
I'll be back in time!
Oh, God
Fuck
almighty.
You.
This
Fuck
is the
you.
Worst episode ever.
Hey, Sean, remember when I told you we would hit a new low over the course of this episode?
Way down the rabbit hole.
Oh, no.
I think I'm going to have to sketch up Arnold Schwarzenegger stepping out of the TARDIS.
How about just like the T-100 walking out of the TARDIS? I would like that.
You do sketches, Dobby?
Yeah, I do.
That's what he does for a living, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you're an artist.
Yes, I am.
Wait, really? I thought you were something with cars. And
I sketch cars.
Don't you write, too?
I write as well, yeah.
And speak? You have a radio voice.
Thank you. Thank you, and up next,
Sean,
on the Lonely TARDIS.
Well, this shows what I know. I know Steven just sits in a dorm room somewhere with giant posters on his wall or cut out TARDISes or something. But Dolly, I thought you okay. Well, the more you know, right?
I draw comics. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. You draw comics?
Yes.
Wow.
how many episodes have we done?
Well, this is what happens when we talk strictly Who. We don't associate with each other outside of the show. We're very clearly not friends in real life. It's literally it's Doctor Who for 120 minutes every other week.
We should play some video games together.
Doctor Who.
Sean, this week, me, you, Dally, we're going to play some video games together. Maybe get Ryan.
Well, yeah, it sounds good. We'll, I don't have any time to do it, actually. I'm really
we'll talk about it after the show, because I have a feeling we're about to totally go off on tangents here. Like, let's play this game.
Let's get back on tangent, because by the time this podcast ends, we'll probably be starting episode or season 7.
I don't want to get back on tangent. I want to get back on target.
Oh, let's get back on target.
Thank you.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
So, Sean, you found some news about Stephen Moffat teasing.
Did I? Yes, I did. I did. Where did I put it? I had it somewhere.
Our
it
good
was a
friends
tease.
At Blogter Who.
Yes, the Blogter himself. Yeah, so Moffat apparently teased series seven, and it's closed. So give me a second to open it here. I apologize.
Well, it's
okay. So, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yes. I hate you guys so much right now.
Get into my TARDIS. You started that shizzle.
So apparently,
I can almost tell you what it says from memory right now. In the time it was going to take you to pull that up,
you know what? Maybe we'll just edit out this whole section.
We're
maybe
gonna
have,
call this the lonely tangent. But
will that make you happy, Steven? Well, you know, you make your Star Wars references, and I can't take 10 seconds to pull up an article.
I'm sorry.
Sean. Anyway, apparently the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra Doctor Who Symphonic Spectacular program was a thing that happened, and it sounds really awesome. That's one of the best titles of anything ever.
And how come we didn't know about it?
I don't know, because we were on hiatus for 2 months.
Because we're not Australian. We don't have an Australian Doctor Who correspondent. We
That's true. We need some Doctor Who Orchestra stuff in the States is what we need.
Yep.
Anyway, so apparently
I'm the Doctor Who Australian correspondent. I got nothing.
So apparently Moffat put a forward in there, I guess maybe in those programs, and it basically teases, with the 50th anniversary coming, they're gearing up for the biggest, best, and the most ambitious season ever. Shock, surprises, and heartbreak is coming, because the Doctor's about to say goodbye to his best friends, Amy and Rory. Aww. Then, he's about to say hello to someone very different. The Doctor is going to meet someone very new in the very last place he could have ever expected.
This means that the next companion is going to be an American, right?
A Dalek American.
Or a dude. American.
Yeah.
Well, he's had dude companions over these last couple of years.
No, not really. You know,
he had Wilfred.
He had Wilfred in a special, which was awesome.
Yes,
and
it
Rory.
Was.
And Mickey.
Rory was Amy's companion, though. Who? Jack?
Yeah.
Nah, Jack was kind of a temporary time agent Torchwood guy.
Yep.
Ricky. What was his name? Mickey.
Mickey. I just said it.
Well, it sounded like Nikki, and I was really confused for a second.
How you can remember the goddamn full Stormageddon title, but you can't remember Mickey from the first season?
In my defense, they treated Mickey like garbage.
They did.
so sad. Yeah, but I feel like those were all periphery companions.
That still makes
the companions.
If they travel with the Doctor in the TARDIS, they are companions. That is that is law, Sean. That is law, Norton, Mr. Norton.
But
Richard Nixon is a companion.
But we're not
talking about if what their gender is. It says where they're coming from.
Okay, carry on. I have been soundly shut down.
I'm sorry, Sean. You know what, Sean? For the next 30 seconds, I'm gonna make up for the George Martin interview. So I just won't say anything for the next 60 seconds. Go.
Anyway, it'll be interesting. I don't know. Maybe it's an alien, or maybe somebody from the future, or maybe another Time Lord. Maybe there's a Time Lord that somehow comes out of the time lock or something. You know, I don't know. But it's Moffat doing that thing he does, always teasing.
Well, you know what's interesting is that it's someone very new. So we know now that it's not River Song.
Right.
Because that was one of the rumors that was floating around last season, that River Song could potentially be the, the companion this year.
But it looks like they're gonna take the less is more route with her, which I think is very good. There's no confirmation she's coming back at all.
Yep.
It does seem like if she does, it'll be kind of like in those standalone adventures that she seems to excel at, which is good, because, I mean, we spent a whole episode talking about how she was kind of a letdown, so... At least in my humble opinion, when everything was said and done. But
cool. What the hell are you guys doing?
Here comes Steven.
another little bit of Doctor Who news, just the last little bit. This week, here in the States, we get the special edition DVD release of The Caves of Androzani, which was the Peter Davison classic Doctor Who spectacular. I mean, there's explosions in this one, guys.
Could they afford explosions in the 70s?
I think they could. And we all know Peter Davison. Was he the other young Doctor?
He was a younger one, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Isn't Caves of Androzani on Netflix as well?
It might be.
That's actually a bit of Doctor Who news that I'd like to bring up if I could. Sure. It sounds like BBC is pulling off all of their content off of Doctor Who or off of Netflix this
year. What?
No, don't tell me that.
No.
Really?
That's what I heard. That's what Eric said. Eric follows the Netflix stuff real closely.
Eric Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Smith.
Yeah, Eric Smith of sidequesting.com fame, or infamy, maybe. he follows that shit real closely and tweets about it all the time. And yeah, he said it was there's a couple of things. I think it was like Fox is maybe pulling their stuff too, or maybe not Fox. I'm just some other more well known in America network. But yeah,
well, I know Starz is out. I know Starz is pulling their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think they already did pull their stuff actually. But yeah,
but
it sounded like BBC was pulling their stuff, which is
why in the world would they do that? There's no other way in the States for you to stream Doctor Who.
Right.
They are putting their bet on a rival service, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember what it's called.
Amazon?
Exactly.
Hulu?
Amazon, you can buy the stuff off of there. It's not Hulu. It's like some kind of... It's based
in
Amazon, the UK, I want to say, but like they're bringing it to the States.
Are they launching their iPlayer here?
No. It is a third-party service. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. Maybe we can talk to Eric about it before the next episode airs, and we will have more details on that because I can't...
You know, it may have happened by the time the next episode airs.
That's
no,
possible.
Be positive.
But don't say that.
Be positive. There's nothing that I see. Netflix lists next to the show like this is only going to be available until, apparently I have Camelot in my queue, and it says that's only available until February 17th, which I'm guessing is when the Starz stuff runs out. I could be wrong about that. There's nothing, at least in terms of Netflix, there's nothing official on the site that says that they're pulling this. So let's hope that that's not true.
Yeah, maybe Eric was wrong. I'm not sure.
It's entirely possible he's hearing stuff on the back end too. That's just not, true on,
Or I mean, he might have just been speculating. Eric has done that in the past, it's entirely possible. But if this is true, that is a sad, sad blow for Doctor Who fans because, Doctor Who in its entirety is on there, of the new series anyway, and a bunch of the old stuff is on there as well.
Yeah, I mean, as early as December, the BBC renewed their license with Netflix to stream all the stuff to the UK and Europe. So I don't know why they'd want to pull. Even the press release.
No, it doesn't.
BBC.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't know anything about this rival player, but. If you think about some of our friends and some of our colleagues, these people who within the last year have gotten into Doctor Who and have been excited to talk to us about it and to share it with their followers and their commenters, guys like Justin McElroy, who's been on the show with us before, other guys like
Sydney,
Kara and well. Sydney and I just had a conversation about it today and somebody wanted to know how to get into it. And I said, well, just go to Netflix. All these people got into it and they sat down and they watched it either a couple at a time or in marathon sessions because it's available on Netflix.
Maybe,
so,
you know what? The more you guys talk about it, the more this sounds like it was maybe a false alarm. But
I think as recent as December, they
that's what Dally just said.
They inked a new deal.
Thanks for listening, Sean. That's great.
Maybe I was just trying to find a source.
Sure.
Maybe he was saying that they are keeping everything there. I don't know, but that is
maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah, maybe
Let's
it is.
I'm gonna officially say that that's an incorrect rumor, and I'm gonna put those fears to rest right now. I'm gonna
Thank
go
you.
On the record.
Thank you.
I'm also gonna say Sean, I'm also going to say, for more information, you can go to guardian.com.uk.
There you go.
.co.uk.
.co.uk, yes. Damn you, Sean. Let's move on. It's February. It's Valentine's Day. So nothing means more like Valentine's Day. Nothing brings about Valentine's Day joy more than talking about Doctor Who Christmas specials.
I really wanted this Christmas special episode to go up within a normal time frame because I really wanted to call this episode the Lonely TARDIS Christmas Special Doctor Who Christmas Special Christmas Special.
But well, I'm really upset that didn't happen.
Now we're going to have to call this the Lonely TARDIS Valentine's Day Special Doctor Who Christmas Special Valentine Special.
Yes, that's even better.
For everybody listening, I clearly have no say in what we call the episodes. Nobody's can like discuss this with me, so just throwing it out there. All this brilliance is coming from Dolly and Steven.
Oh yeah, because Sean actually understands this shit because he
brilliant
in the PR business. But we just post if there would probably be millions of you fuckers out there listening to us babble if Sean was in charge, but we run this fucking freight train into the ground every week, so. You blame us. Mostly
Dally. Appreciate the compliment. They can now say whatever they want.
Yeah, mostly me. So again, we are calling this the Lonely TARDIS Valentine's Day Doctor Who Christmas Special Special.
Yes.
To be grammatically correct.
Lonely TARDIS Valentine's Day.
So let's talk about the Christmas episode. So we do apologize for not getting around to doing this back in December when every other normal person had watched the Doctor Who Christmas Special, but the DVD and Blu-ray are now available and have been for a couple months now on Amazon and everywhere else. Please feel free, go out, pick up the Christmas Special somewhere and watch it before listening to this part.
I also want to say I'm sorry to Justin and Sydney McElroy in case they actually wanted to be on this episode to discuss this with us, but it was kind of a weird situation and we didn't get a chance to ask you guys on. So if you guys are listening and you are wondering where you are right now, presumably you're doing something else, maybe recording your own podcast, the Sat Dish, the Satellite Dish, which everybody should go listen to anyway.
And that has been your weekly brown nosing by Steven Strom.
Yeah, don't hurt us. don't talk bad about us on your show or anything.
So the Christmas episode. again, this one was set in World War II era, and it's hard to concentrate with Sean furiously typing deranged messages to Steven in our Skype chat.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Christmas special, it was pretty good. What'd you guys think of it? I liked it a lot.
I watched it a second time and enjoyed it a lot more that second time. Here's the premise. The Doctor, we had seen the preview, the prequel, I guess they call it now, which showed the Doctor slamming his hand on a big red button. And blowing up an alien ship, crash landing to Earth because he wasn't near his TARDIS. He had to find his TARDIS. The Christmas special picks up when right after the ship explodes. So he's crashing through Earth at the last second, or to Earth at the last second. He kind of engages a spacesuit, and he lands on Earth with his helmet on backwards, and. Luckily,
his trauma suit or is like it was some kind of weird, like super invincible medical suit or something.
A lovely lady by the name of Marge, I think her name was, discovers him, or Madge, I'm sorry, Madge Arwell, discovers him, leads him back to the TARDIS. He ends up, and she's actually the wife of a British Air Force pilot. 3 years later, he comes back, Doctor Who comes back, and, Madge had received word that her husband had been killed in action or disappeared in action or so on. We find out more later on.
Over the English Channel.
Therefore, the Doctor had kind of came in this really weird, inopportune time. So he decides to – she hadn't told her children yet. She wanted them to have a good Christmas. He decides to create a house for them. He kind of arranges this house. They were going to stay with their relative, which ends up being this house that he's put together. And they stay there. The kid, I think the son is it that kind of disappears one of the nights, or is it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day that he disappears? And it's Christmas Eve that he disappears. They come to find that he had walked into one of the giant presents in the house, which is a portal to an ice planet or a snow planet.
Like a planet of naturally occurring Christmas trees.
Exactly. Yeah. And the trees are alive. They had kind of initially kidnapped this kid, but thinking that he was going to lead them to save their planet, they end up falling back on Madge as being their savior because she's a mother, and Mother Earth, that whole kind of thing comes together. And she saves this planet from evil humans. And as they're leaving, the doctor manages to find her husband, I think it was, and then...
The energy of them like flying through space and time or something like that creates a beacon that her husband is able to follow back to England and where the doctor and everything was currently going on, and they all lived happily ever after, basically.
Yes, so the husband, the Air Force pilot, was kind of trapped through time, I guess you could say, over the English Channel, which I guess is like a Bermuda Triangle.
What happened was he died, but when she... had to start thinking of things that like made her feel emotion to power this ship. She opened up like a time portal to that day, and he followed them through the time portal back to where they were. So he was able to follow that and not die.
Exactly. So then they had a great Christmas, and then so the doctor says, I'm gonna visit some of the his past friends. He visits
some friends. Yeah,
some friends. He visits Amy and Rory. Which they kind of relate a little bit to the fake death, I guess you could say, from the last season 6, and then that's it. They've been doctor says they invite him in for dinner, and they tell him that they've always kind of saved a place for him at the table, and he finally sheds a tear of happiness.
Best part of the episode.
Yeah, actually that was really cool because. Anyways, we'll get into those details right now. So that's overall the synopsis. We all kind of know that Amy and Rory are leaving the show, so it's almost bittersweet because they're happy now. They're happy without him, but they're still they still remember him as time goes on. So, what did you guys think overall? I mean, I really enjoyed it. Again, like I said earlier, the second time I watched the episode, I thought a lot more of it than that. The first time was. Kind of all over the place. And maybe it's just the way the BBC is presented in American stations with all the commercial cuts to kind of throw it out of flow. But I really enjoyed it. I thought there were parts of it that were actually pretty emotional.
Yeah. I don't think I've made it any secret on the show that Doctor Who has no trouble turning on my emotions and making getting some tears out of me every time.
What's the phrase we use? Every time a Dalek dies, Stephen Strum cries his eyes. Is that what we say?
I can neither confirm nor deny that there is any such there is any such slogan. I got some tears. You got some tears out of me, Doctor Who. Towards the end here, I really like the happy ending of their dad coming back out through the time vortex and everything, and the doctor crying when he was happy. That was the whole big thing, was that he had no problem crying. It was that crying when he was for being happy was like this human thing. He kind of brushes it off at one point, saying like, oh, you're so cute. It's such a human thing. And then he does it at the end, and he's like shocked to see that he's doing it. And we see that the doctor has become it's like a kind of a little bit of an aside to like the doctor has loved humans for ages, but now he is, and he's become more and more human over the series, human-ish in the, emotional term. But this is actual physical proof to both to the audience and to him that he is becoming, that the humans touch him as much as he touches the humans, which is such a nice little concept that we affect him as much as he affects us, kind of thing. Like it's almost like saying like the writers, like Stephen Moffat saying, here's your reward for being such faithful fans over the years of following the Doctor and being part of the Doctor. And we know that, this is us acknowledging how important the Doctor is to some people out there by saying you are just as important to the Doctor as the Doctor is to you, kind of thing. And I really, really love that sentiment. And overall, I just thought it was just a well-done kind of episode. You know, it was a pretty typical Doctor Who story, but that closing moment, those few closing moments, I guess, were really important. I felt really important, in an emotional sense, not necessarily in a plot sense. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I mean, again, like you mentioned, it shows the Doctor is actually affected by the people around him as opposed to him just always affecting humans, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's basically my. I mean, I don't want to. I didn't know how deep we were getting into spoilers until you fucking dropped the entire plot synopsis of the whole show. But
well, damn. 2 months later.
Yeah, 2 months later. That's true. But like,
I think the moratorium is up by now.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know that I need to. If anything really needs to be said by me about the actual story that Dally hasn't already said, but I really liked the three soldier type characters. I thought they were another great example of how the production values of the show just keep getting going up and up and up. With their armor look really cool. I thought they kind of looked, it had this sort of utilitarian look to it that I think Doctor Who really nails, this whole concept of like the extraordinary becoming mundane in the future. Like what should be incredible to us as people is like you know, of our time,
sure,
is totally normal and just boring and mundane to the people who it's actually happening to, which is exactly how things happen in real life. And I think Doctor Who nails that look on almost everything they do. And I think they've never done it better than with the design for this episode.
You know, this episode actually kind of reminds me of the, I think it was a Torchwood episode from season 2 of Torchwood, where the three, individuals from like the 40s get sucked into a time vortex and land in kind of modern London, and the Torchwood crew has to get them reaccustomed to modern life because they have no idea how to get back. And all three characters kind of take their own path. One tries to go back in time. One tries to deal with the ghosts, and one ends up doing something to himself, which I'm not going to spoil. You know that. There's something really interesting, and I know that World War II has been kind of done to death, but there's something really interesting about this episode, which you know, kind of brought up that previous memory of things are getting really starting to get kind of really emotional to the World War II era,
To be fair, like there isn't a lot. The focus isn't on World War II. It could have
exactly.
been any war,
yeah, exactly.
And it would have worked just as
yeah. But you know, things got. It was a pretty emotional episode from beginning to end. I mean, Doctor Who doesn't really deal with death that quickly in an episode, and then have to try to you know, fit it into the story. But I thought it worked pretty well.
Yeah, it is a sort of weird, sort of backwardsy thing for Doctor mm-hmm. Who, whereas a lot of Doctor Who is a lot of we will get to know this character, and then over the course of the episode, you will understand why you should care about this character, and then by the end of the episode, this character will be dead, and because you care about them, we have to, like, now you care that they died. Whereas in this one, character dies right off the bat, then you get to know the characters as you go along, and then bring the character back at the end. It's sort of a weird sort of way of flipping the thing, but you get to care about the dude in the plane because you care about the family and stuff. So like it matters that he comes back because you see how distraught this family is, and you see when he gets brought back that it matters to everybody else. And
sure.
I totally had the crying when you're happy thing too. I mean, I don't know if it's emotional manipulation or anything like that, but I was super happy at the ending, and turned on the waterworks as much as a big tough man like me can. Because I'm so tough
and so big. Well, I
and
think it.
So big.
You know, I think it. It's great for us as Doctor Who fans, because now we're positively thinking about what could happen the next. You know, this next season, which doesn't start airing until fall, right? I think they said it's going to be like
so far away.
I know. But
I don't even have Top Gear to tide me over until April.
Oh Lord. We have Game of Thrones coming in April as well, and we have Walking Dead coming back tonight. So whoever listens to this, it'll already have started. But
I need to get back up on that. I didn't see any of this stuff past season one yet.
So. You could probably skip the whole first six episodes of season two.
So you know what else is interesting? I don't think you guys touched on
sure.
is some of the continuity stuff sprinkled throughout the Christmas episode.
Oh sure, okay.
So like obviously, excuse me. the whole, like, Sonic Screwdriver has a problem with wood.
Oh,
which,
that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't really official, as far as I know, until Silence in the Library.
Huh.
Which is pretty neat. The Tree Harvesters were from Androzany Major, which is the same planet featured on the Caves of Androzany.
Oh, which is being re-released this week.
Yeah.
Right? We've come full circle.
I knew I had heard that name somewhere before, and I just couldn't remember for the life of me during the episode until you made those two you made that connection for me just there, Sean. Thank you.
Of course, the doctor apparently mentioned the Forest of Cheem, which, if you remember, in the second or third episode, back when Eccleston was doing it, that tree creature that helped him and eventually went up in flames.
Oh, he actually.
Oh, that's right.
He specifically says like that. Yeah, she fancied him was what he specifically says.
Huh. Yep.
She kind of falls for him in that episode.
Yep.
I do remember now.
I thought that was really neat that he mentioned that whole throwback to the forest and then her. And then I don't know if you mentioned it, but it's in the timeline of Doctor Who, it's been 2 years since he left and faked his death. So,
you know what's really interesting about Doctor Who, just kind of as an overall series through these last 50 years, has been how almost elegantly and effortlessly they've been able to drop in previous references to other parts of the series, and how these little strings are kind of wound throughout the entire show. So here's a reference from the Ninth Doctor, all the way back in the Ninth Doctor, that they bring back into here, and not only that, but they also mentioned the Androzany from the Caves of Androzany, which was like the early 80s.
That's Fifth Doctor there.
That's Fifth Doctor. So I think it's really great how they still throw those in, even for fans who have been following Doctor Who for a long time. I think they're probably going to get the most out of it. But
Certainly.
It's fantastic that they're doing it.
It makes it feel like so much of a living, breathing universe. Like
exactly.
just because the exactly. like with Star, you watch something like Star Trek. They drop down onto a planet and then they do some stuff and then they never talk about that planet of people that look exactly like human except their eyebrows are different. And then they go next to the next planet where they look exactly like humans except their ears are kind of different and shit like that. Whereas Doctor Who keeps constantly tying back into that stuff and makes you feel like, no, those people are still living their lives and doing their stuff in this same universe,
right.
And we will tell
it
you
makes,
that they're doing it.
It really brings importance to the expanded universe, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So then, does that mean... So when The Impossible Astronaut took place, which the beginning of Season 6 was also the end of Season 6, technically, right? Because that's when it all came full circle and he faked his death. So does that mean he's visiting Amy and Rory in 2013?
Did that take place in 2011?
I think so.
Oh, then
I want to say
so.
Yes.
Yeah, then it's 2013, yeah.
Well, and by the time the show comes back, it'll almost be 2013, so that would
that's true.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I wonder, because I know that Amy and Rory are only going to film maybe a handful of episodes, so I wonder if we're going to get them at the very beginning of the season, or if we're going to get some timey-wimey stuff and he's going to jump around again.
I bet you they'll be at the... Probably towards the very, very beginning, and then maybe again at another point. But I bet you there won't be too much. I feel like when they get a new companion, they try to move on from that companion, other than maybe a little couple of references here and there. But
which makes me wonder if they go with a new companion at the very beginning, then maybe you bring Amy and Rory back in the middle, and then you kind of end if they go in the half season and then fall and spring. Maybe you end with something that kind of closes their story out in the middle of the season. You know.
I feel like they just don't know how to end the Amy and Rory thing. I feel kind of weird. I certainly don't know how to end it. Like,
Well, it's not even just Amy and Rory. It's Amy, Rory, and River, right? Because they have this daughter now that they don't know much about.
I don't think they need to end River anytime soon. I'm saying, but they've specifically said that Amy and Rory are coming to it. Their story is coming to an end here.
For sure, but
I just feel like they don't know where to go with that because like they don't. I mean, obviously, like they're so well liked, you don't want to just kill them off, and like they've done just about every possible horrible thing you could imagine to a human being over the course of this series, other than just kill them. And the only thing I can think of is that Amy and Rory would leave the Doctor behind because they have the new family and the new life and everything. Except Amy and Rory, every time we see them, don't seem like they're that that's what they want to do. Like, they just seem kind of, like, content to keep palling around with the Doctor.
It'll be interesting. I'm sure by now they have it figured what they're going to do, but it'll be very interesting to see how they execute it and when they execute it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Certainly.
Well, guys, that's basically it for this episode.
What about the contest?
Yeah, well, so here's a great thing. I mentioned earlier that I was going to have a contest. I decided not to. No, I'm just kidding.
You get nothing.
If you were listening early on, you may have picked up on the Star Trek crossover with Doctor Who that's potentially being planned. It's a rumor, I guess, until it's actually confirmed. I'm not 100% sure. And I asked my co-host here what their favorite crossover was. Tell us your favorite crossover. I'm looking for would be.
You're missing a. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What would be your favorite? What would be your ultimate Doctor Who crossover? I mean, would it be Doctor Who and X-Men, Doctor Who and Star Trek, Doctor Who and somebody completely different?
Doctor Who and Mass Effect.
Doctor Who and Mass Effect. Yeah. Leave a comment on this post telling us your favorite crossover, and you'll have a chance to win the Doctor Who Classics Omnibus Volume 1.
Ooh.
That's pretty nice.
A very awesome, awesome graphic novel. It's kind of rare unless you do some good digging for it. But yeah, tell us, and we'll pick a winner let's see here. This podcast will go up this week. Let's say on February 25th, we'll pick a winner.
Like a good time. Yeah.
We'll pick a winner. Hopefully we'll get a few folks entering. And yeah, I think that'll be good. I think that'll be great.
Continental United States entrance only, please. Right?
Exactly. It's continental U.S. only, please.
Sorry about that, other countries, but it's fucking, like, U.S. Shipping laws here are fucked beyond all recognition, so we are sorry. We would love to send you that stuff if we could, but we can't. I'm sorry about that.
Yep. Alrighty.
Very cool. It's a good prize.
Definitely. It is a... It is a very cool book, actually. So I would highly recommend it. If you can somehow find it, definitely get your hands on it. That's it, everybody. That is The Lonely TARDIS, episode numero 10. I really hope you guys...
Double
digits. Is it really our 10th episode?
It's our 10th episode, yeah.
Huh. I feel like I'm underdressed or something. I'm not totally sure.
That's because you're not wearing any pants, Steven.
I am wearing pants. I'm actually probably wearing more clothes now than I normally wear in public. It's cold in my room. I don't. I'm all out of coals for the fire, sir. I would love another if you could find it in your heart.
So it's been fun.
just a little bit of peat moss, sir. Just a burn.
Bye, everybody.
Myself.
It's been fantastic. It's
Take
so
care,
hard.
Guys.
It's so I've impossible got the pneumonia. to shut Steven up.
Oh, God, are we still recording?
Yes. See you guys later.
Well, so let's make a time code from when we're going to cut this nonsense. So that's what, 20 minutes now of content
Something
we have to cut out of this
yeah.
episode?
Maybe 45. Yeah.
My feet are cracking.
45.
This episode's going to be 10 minutes long, and it's just going to be cut right to each news story.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
My eyelids don't shut properly.
Sidequesting.com. We'll see you guys. Adios.
Wait, no. Well, no.
Wait.
Shit, motherfucker.
Aren't we going to do our usual sign-off where you can
yes.
find us?
You made me waste it. It's done.
Where can we find you, Sean?
All right, let's try again. Steve, get it out of your system.
Where can we find you, Sean?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter. It's at Sean Norton, SHAUNNORTON.
Steven?
At Steven Strom. StevenStrom.
And I am Dally Domofsky. You can find me at Cool Rats, KEWLRATS. And you can find The Lonely TARDIS on iTunes if you're listening to this via iTunes. Please rate and review us. It really does help. Gets us up in the kind of featured category, which we have been.
Absolutely.
I'd like to stay up there. I want to make it to the top 10, not just the top 25. So.
And be sure to follow Lonely TARDIS on Twitter.
Yes.
We recently launched our own Twitter account, at
yes.
Lonely TARDIS. And we'll definitely be integrating that more with the show and contests and fan feedback and listener feedback. And we'll do some cool stuff from there.
Definitely. Definitely. That's it, everybody.
I'm as cold as Sean's icy heart.
Oh my God. Bye.
Bye, guys.